This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fansky? Expected to have his Zoom call. If not one, it'll be shortly thereafter, sometime in the 1 o'clock hour. We'll hear it right here on The Fan. I'm Jeff Phelps. My buddy over there is Andy Baskin.
I'm still here, even after yesterday's game. Does it feel like a Browns Therapy Monday to you?
Well, no.
I don't think fans are fired up at all right now.
Well, combine the loss with the bye week, and I think it's like a the Baskin sigh fits here today. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Oh, no, there's another Baskin one that fits this perfectly. What's your fantasy football team name typically?
Apathy by week four.
That's actually what it feels
apathy
more than
apathy at week nine.
Yeah, it's apathy right now.
That's really where we are.
I do think fans are hanging on to see who gets traded over the next day or two. I do think things like this. I'm going to tell you, I am not looking forward to the Steelers game. That's a Thursday nighter, right? And you may as well just cross all the rivers here and put three up and just say we're in Pittsburgh for that night. Because that's what it's going to feel like. Even yesterday, there were a ton of Chargers. Not a ton. There was a limited group of Chargers fans that were hooting and hollering after the game as the Chargers came back into the tunnel. And I'm just like, ugh, this is our house. It's just so – but I'm not mad at our fans. It's really aggravating and nauseating when you start to hear the other team's – fans cheering and they're loud at the end, and there's no reason to blame Browns fans for that. It's just I can't stand it. It's like my least favorite thing about. I mean, the place was half empty by halftime yesterday. There were so many empty seats.
Yeah, that's rough. I've never understood that.
You know,
I know
if Jameis takes them down and doesn't get the deflected pass intercepted in the end zone, it could have been a different game.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be an
14
optimist.
14-play drive to start the second half.
Yeah, I mean, it looked right.
Like could have been a 10-point game.
You know, you make one stop, now all of a sudden
you get the ball back, boom. But guess
against
what?
Against a team that averages 30. Like, you knew going into yesterday's game, and tell me if I'm wrong, boys, because I don't know if you agree with this, but you knew when you were going to play this team yesterday that they only give up about 13 points a game.
Number one in the NFL.
So if you're going to get one touchdown offensively, you better put yourself in a position by scoring on special teams or scoring on defense, or at least having special teams or defense put you in a really short field situation. That didn't happen yesterday. Mm-mm. In fact, it was worse because I don't know. Did the real Jameis Winston stand up? Please stand up. Please stand up.
You know what?
Did he? I don't know.
I'm going to say no, and that takes us to what we were going to discuss in this segment. Scott Petrak said, and Scott was just with us, he would start Jameis moving forward here and then play it by ear, pretty much the way Scott laid it out. And, okay, if you're going to get a look at DTR, fine, but there are too many guys who are still trying to win football games, and Jameis gives you a better chance to do that. I would agree with that. But if you, like Joe Flacco last night for the Colts, Joe looked like a veteran quarterback who knows what he's doing. They didn't score any points offensively, and they had a tough go. Sam Darnold has been terrific in Minnesota. He threw an interception in the end zone last night that made you think, ooh, that was painful. And if you look around the NFL, and we did this, we mentioned this earlier, a handful, and Andy and I disagree on a couple of the guys. There are a handful of teams who you can say, absolutely, they have an absolute beast at quarterback, and they are set. They have their guy. Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes. I think Justin Herbert. The Commanders and Bears think they have their guys, Andy. Still to be determined, but I think both Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels look good. I mentioned Herbert. Jalen Hurts. Jared Goff looks like the guy in Detroit.
Yeah.
Right? So maybe five or six absolute beasts at quarterback, and maybe 12 guys who it's like, yeah, you pretty much got this gig. And everybody else kind of thinking, all right, this is our quarterback for now. I wonder where we go. And I wonder what the Browns do. You know, if you don't think, and you talking to Daniel Jeremiah yesterday on the pregame show, he doesn't think it's a good draft for quarterbacks, or what are you going to do next year? Could you go into the season with Jameis Winston? Could you go into the season with Deshaun Watson? Could you go into the season with Sam Darnold, who's going to be a free agent? Because they have J.J. McCarthy sitting there. Chris Collinsworth last night was asked by his partner, Mike Tirico. They showed J.J. McCarthy, and I thought Chris was interesting because Mike said, you know, J.J. McCarthy, how's this going to play out? And Collinsworth said, he's the starting quarterback of the Minnesota Vikings next year. And Tirico was like, really? Goes, yeah, that's what they brought him here for. He's now sat out a year, you know, he's injured and he's healing up, but he thinks he'll be the starting quarterback for the Vikings next year. Well, you think Darnold's going to go back there as a backup after starting this year and performing pretty well? Nope.
Mm-mm.
So he's going to be a guy that somebody's going to go get. Scott mentioned some other guys. You know, hey, is Bryce Young going to stick in Carolina? Is Anthony Richardson going to stick in Indy? Trey Lance is sitting in Dallas. Are you going to try and go get a guy like this and let him compete with somebody and try a reclamation project, Andy? I mean, you do have some options here because I just think it's so difficult to find one of those guys who's an absolute no-brainer, we're set for 10 years kind of guys. 5 years.
I have no idea what they're doing at quarterback right now. There's a part of me that just wants to see them play DTR for the rest of the year, Jeff, and just play him.
Why, though?
Because I want to see what they have. And I also think that I know there are people saying, well, I think we already have seen what we have, right? I know there are people thinking that. But I'd like to see them give him, I don't know, maybe a week or two to kind of give him a chance to settle in for a second. What do they have to lose? They have nothing to lose by this right now. They're not going anywhere. Where's this thing going? And the last two times they've thrown DTR in important situations, Ravens last year, they told them at the last second, and Cincinnati was kind of the same situation. So what if you actually gave him reps with a first-team offense for a week or two and then see what you have? Because I think financially, if he became successful, they'd be in a much better situation for the entire roster moving forward. I'm not saying that I think he's going to go out and win games, but I'd like to see them give this kid a chance just under the premise of give him an opportunity to work with a team for a week or two and then let him be the quarterback rather than throwing him into the fire right away. So
let me give you a thought.
Okay.
Okay. You might like this thought.
Okay.
I personally, when I listen to DTR, he sounds like a starting quarterback to me. I love the way he handles himself. I think he comes off as a mature young guy who knows what he's doing, knows where he wants to go. I really like that about him. He's got a great arm. He hasn't played real well in the limited opportunities he's received. And limited is key.
And they've been awkward situations.
You're right. And I think Jameis could go be somebody's starting quarterback for the next 3 to 5 years. I do. Now, would he be that guy that makes you think, oh, we've got our quarterback? No, I don't think so. But he could start for you. He could start here. But as Scott threw Jameis's name out as the guy who might be a surprising trade candidate, I could see that. And the reason if the Browns don't think he's the long-term answer, and by long-term, I mean even maybe just next year or in the year beyond or something like that, Andy,
mm-hmm.
You have DTR. You don't have to go out and get another backup because you have Bailey Zappe. So you would have two quarterbacks here who have actually played a little bit in the NFL to play quarterback on a team that's not going anywhere this year. And I'm sorry to say that. So are you and everybody else. They're 2-7. Let's be honest.
Right.
You could play DTR and Bailey Zappe.
Yeah.
And get away with it.
Yeah.
And would they give you as good of a chance to win as Jameis?
No. I don't think so.
Probably not. But maybe you want to find that out. I don't know.
I'll even give you one more loss if you want to make if you want to live in fantasy land and think that the Browns still have a chance to see some kind of postseason. I'll even give you one more loss. You got one more loss with James. I'm being generous.
Was it the stat I saw that 2-7 the Commanders 2 years ago, I think, made the playoffs, right? Wasn't that what it was?
I think there's only two.
But their division was so bad that they won the division. That's not going to happen here.
No.
And that to me is a really
if we were in a division thing. That was 4-4 going into yesterday, I think we have a shot, but we don't.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.